In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Today's gospel lesson contains some of Jesus' last words before he ascended into heaven. So standing on a mountaintop in the region of Galilee, Jesus announced to his disciples that all authority in heaven and on earth had been given to him. The very same Jesus standing before these men who had been crucified, died, and raised from the dead was literally in power over all things. How shocking and amazing to be in the presence of the one possessing all authority. Whatever Jesus would say next must certainly receive our own rapt attention and fervent dedication. What Jesus tells his disciples is to go, baptize, and teach. What Jesus had given to them in his life, in his death, and in his resurrection was for all people throughout the world. In those words to his disciples, Jesus instructs them to baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And in those words, Jesus reveals very clearly the triune God. God as triune. That is three in one, and one in three. This is a truth of God that must be revealed to us. It cannot be figured out or gained by our own thinking. It cannot be seen in the things of nature. Now, for generations, Christians have used earthly items to help explain the mystery of the Trinity. St. Patrick is famous for using the three-leafed shamrock to illustrate the Trinity. Others will talk about the three different states of water, while others will point to the skin, meat, and core of an apple that make up the one apple. But merely looking at such things in creation without previous knowledge of God's triune nature would never lead anyone to draw such a conclusion. To think that God is three in one, one in three. Instead, after the fact of that revelation, such things are used, such things of creation. But even then, they are far from perfect illustrations. In fact, what is true is that if you think you have a perfect understanding of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then you are wrong. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11, that no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And so we are put then in our place. We, as imperfect human beings, who totally understand very little about anything in our lives, cannot then even begin to understand the full magnitude of God's nature. Franz Pieper, a Lutheran theologian from the late 19th and early 20th centuries, had this to say about understanding the Trinity. The warning against making the doctrine of the Trinity plausible, that is, understandable to reason, cannot be made too emphatic. In other words, attempting to make the Holy Spirit or the Holy Trinity make sense to our minds is a danger for us. the full reality of the triune nature of God is understood only by Him. And all that we need to know about God's triune nature has been revealed to us in Scripture. And anything more than that, our minds could not handle. Now, some have argued throughout history that the identity of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a New Testament teaching. They say that the Old Testament teaches nothing about the Holy Trinity. You do not have to look far to realize just how untrue that is. Today's Old Testament lesson, for example, the story of creation includes the three persons of the Trinity. The Father is God, who speaks and brings creation into being. And the word that the Father speaks to bring about creation is the Son, as St. John teaches in his Gospel, when he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." We also have the Spirit of God hovering over the surface of the waters, with His presence remaining with the creation. And in other places throughout the Old Testament, mention is made of the angel of the Lord. Now, this angel is said to have powers and characteristics that only God Himself could possess. The Old Testament figures also refer to this angel as their God and Lord. And they are not corrected for it. The angel himself also refers to himself as God. And an angel is a messenger, one who is sent with a message. And Jesus makes it very clear that He has been sent by the Father, as we have clearly in John chapters 5, 6, 8, 12, 14, 17, and 20. It is clear then that the angel of the Lord is God, even though He is not the Father. And Jesus makes it clear that He is the sent one from the Father, linking Himself to the angel of the Lord found in the Old Testament. So what has been established in the Old Testament as the triune nature of God is voiced clearly by our Lord Jesus Christ. He knows that you and I are sinners. He knows that we have a natural desire, as flawed as it may be, that we have a natural desire to want to know about God. That flawed nature, however, leads us to want to change God into a God of our own making. We want Him to fit into our ideas of God. Now, this can become such a part of our human thinking that we may even find it hard to trust in the God who does not fit our image of what He should be. To His apostles, His sent ones, Jesus reveals to them the very nature of God by using God's name, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. From the Athanasian Creed, we know this God to be one God, not three gods. He has one name, not three names. And yet, in the one divine essence, there are three distinct persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All three persons are equally and fully one God. Such knowledge, when thought about, should bring us humbly to our knees. As Luther says, reason cannot comprehend that one thing contains no distinctions and at the same time is three distinct things. And the blessed truth is that we do not have to understand the fullness of this triune God, but we are called to believe in this triune God, to believe in the Holy Trinity. For we have been baptized into that name. And we bear that name upon us because he has marked us as his own. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, has revealed these things to his apostles and now to us through his precious word. And Jesus is the second person of the Trinity, the eternally begotten Son of God. Jesus is the Savior whom the Father has sent and to whom the Holy Spirit points to all who hear the gospel. Jesus is the Son of God who has been sent in our place to bear our sin and to be our Savior. All authority in heaven and on earth belongs to Jesus because he is God. In that great power, in that great authority, the Lord Jesus Christ chooses to come to you here in word and sacraments. He willingly delivers himself up to you in bread and in wine for the forgiveness of your sins. And he, Jesus Christ, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, continues to keep you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Triune God is indeed worthy of our praise now and forever. The Nunc Dimittis from Divine Service 4 says it well. O Lord, now let your servant depart in heavenly peace, for I have seen the glory of your redeeming grace, a light to lead the Gentiles unto your holy hill, the glory of your people, your chosen Israel. All glory to the Father, all glory to the Son, all glory to the Spirit, forever, three in one. For as in the beginning, is now, shall ever be, God's triune name resounding through all eternity. Amen. And now the peace that does pass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.